The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to get an overview of the services of American Red Cross and specifically the Hudson Valley, New York chapter. And we have with us John Vail, who's the Executive Director of American Red Cross's Hudson Valley, New York chapter. John has served in multiple roles within the Eastern New York region over the past 7 years, including Disaster Program Manager and the AmeriCorps Disaster Resilience Corps. We're going to hear about that. Really interesting. And so, John, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Vincent, thank you so much for having me on today. Really excited to get to talk with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So, John, as I was preparing for the show, I did a little research on the history of American Red Cross, came to learn that it was founded way back in 1881, 243 years ago, by a woman named Clara Barton, who visited Sweden after the Civil War and learned about their disaster relief and international disaster efforts. And then, of course, it went on through World War I and World War II to provide assistance to the military and their families, blood drives to help the troops, and so on. So what part of that legacy remains and what part of it has been expanded upon?
Yeah, Vincent, and thank you so much. You know, really, you know, honoring our history and our founder, Clara Barton, you know, something we take real pride in, you know, here with the American Red Cross. You know, our founding really was on the battlefield, as you had mentioned. You know, Clara got her start with the American Red Cross during the Civil War, you know, providing impartial care, you know, to both sides during that conflict. And that's something that remains true today. You know, Red Cross is a neutral, impartial organization, you know, really helped lead the foundation for the Geneva Conventions, you know, providing humanitarian aid. And this is something we carry out today, you know, throughout the Hudson Valley, throughout the United States, and all of our partner organizations with the Red Cross, Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. And that honor, you know, and commitment to service is something we carry out. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about, you know, how important it is, you know, when we speak to our mission, you know, to alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies. And all of that is only possible through the power of our volunteers and the generosity of donors. And that really allows us, you know, to provide that assistance when it's needed. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, providing it impartially. So to all those, you know, who come to receive Red Cross assistance, are able to, and all Red Cross disaster assistance is free. And again, that's possible through our generous donors and the amazing efforts of our volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And John, so is Red Cross funded exclusively by donations from individuals, or does it include corporations, other philanthropies, any governmental assistance of any kind?
Yeah, so primarily, you know, we're funded through the, you know, the generous donations of individuals. We do have corporate partners, you know, that do donate to our mission as well. And then there is a small portion, again, that we do get through a Department of Defense grant. And again, that's kind of some of that work we provide to our armed forces, as you'd mentioned during that wonderful introduction of Red Cross services. But again, primarily, this is coming from the goodness of, you know, everyday people that see our work, want to pitch in and help out.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, anyone who is paid any attention to the news of any kind realizes that, you know, the effects of climate change have contributed to, you know, a huge number and severity of natural disasters, both in our country and around the world. I think in the United States, there have been something like 41 disasters producing over $1 billion in damages in 2023. So, talk to me a little bit, or to our listeners a little bit, about how you both prepare for those types of things, and And how do you mobilize, resources in the midst of chaos like that?
Yeah, so, the Red Cross, as our local Hudson Valley chapter, we as that local entity, are standing on that front line of the climate crisis with our families, with communities. As you'd identified, we now need to respond to rapidly intensifying storms, extreme heat, record floods, widespread wildfires. So really, there's no time to lose. And that changing climate itself is a humanitarian crisis. We see that happening, not only here in the Hudson Valley, but across the country, affecting communities and people. And as fast as we're working to adapt, those needs are even escalating even faster. So as you had mentioned, last year was an all-time high, for those billion-dollar plus disasters, across the country. And we, we saw it here in the Hudson Valley, not on that billion-dollar scale, but we had, the July flooding down in Highland Falls, which displaced, community members and Red Cross was there to help provide, a safe, welcoming shelter for those that had to leave their homes, and really weren't planning to do so. So in our efforts to help folks prepare, and we can chat a little bit, hopefully about this later, is we offer a suite of free preparedness programs that are really geared towards building resilience in our communities. Obviously, we hope we don't have to, utilize these skills, but we want to make sure our communities, individuals, families, businesses, they have a plan. They hopefully have an emergency kit in case you do need to evacuate your home. And of course, stay informed throughout the disasters, because they're chaotic in nature, like you mentioned. So being adaptable, staying informed, is really that kind of crucial piece throughout a disaster response.
Mm-hmm. And how does John, just out of curiosity, how does that logistically play out? You have to be prepared for a multitude of different types of disasters. It could be flooding at one point, or hurricanes, or wildfires, or whatever. So how do you know what kind of resources to pre-position, if in fact you do that? And how do you line up your volunteers and staff? Is that all done ahead of time so that you can mobilize them in an instant? Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. And one of the benefits we have, being around since the 1800s, is we have over 140 years of experience of responding to disasters. So a crucial part of that, is what you had alluded to, is that preparedness. So what we do is we not only prepare our communities, our individuals and families for disasters, but, we call these times, when we're not experiencing a disaster, a blue sky, kind of a day, right? The sun, well, maybe it's not shining today, but no disasters are happening. So this is our opportunity, to recruit volunteers, to train them in these, crucial volunteer positions. And then there is a component of that, with making sure we have, the requisite supplies, to open up a shelter, to provide, a safe, welcoming refuge for those that may be affected by a disaster. So that all is, really critical in our ability to respond to disasters. And of course, we do need to be aware of, which disasters may impact us. So here during the winter, we're seeing, severe winter weather. There is the potential for flash flooding when we do see the snow melt or high, rain events. But of course, with the climate crisis, these are changing. So we are now seeing, the need to, be ready for wildfires, to be ready, for these extreme weather events. And that's going to require all of us, to kind of make sure we have our own homes covered. And of course, if you're available to come out and join us as a volunteer, we'll train you up and make sure you can go out there and provide assistance when it's needed most.
Mm-hmm. It was really interesting too, as I was going through the notes, looking at the service offerings and so on, was one that stood out to me was that you also not just, you don't only just supply, like basic needs like food and water, et cetera, but there's also an emotional care and support element involved as well, right? Because if someone has lost their home or their community has been wiped out by a natural disaster, there's a lot going on for those families and for the community.
Oh, certainly. And you know, that's kind of sometimes the unseen effects of a disaster is that, you know, picking up the pieces and you know, having to rebuild after a disaster impacts a home or a community. So, again, I have to give a shout out. We have incredible volunteers. We have qualified mental health counselors available for those affected by disasters. And these are folks, you know, who are professionals in their own right. And they see a, you know, a need, and they volunteer with us. And certainly they're needed here in the Hudson Valley, but we send our volunteers across the country to meet the need. And you know, I'll knock on some wood here, Vincent. You know, the Northeast, you know, we're pretty fortunate. We don't see quite the scale of disasters as other parts of the country, you know, in the Southeast with hurricanes or out in the West with wildfires. So as a region here in the Eastern New York area, we do send a lot of our volunteers out to meet that need, and we definitely call on a lot of our disaster mental health counselors. And we also, you know, in kind of that air of Clara, our founder, we do also have disaster health services volunteers, which are our nurses, you know, that can help fill emergency prescriptions that may have, you know, been affected by a fire or a flood. Again, these are incredible, you know, humanitarians. You know, who really, you know, give up their time, you know, their profession to help those in need. So, you know, can't say it enough. Our volunteers, you know, are the ones out there, you know, every single day, you know, providing these services, whether it's shelter, food, emotional support. That's only available through our incredible network.
Sounds amazing. John, we want to learn a lot more about this. It sounds like really a very, very interesting organization that, you know, we've all heard a little bit about, but we want to know a lot more about. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs. Life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
High school sports don't just happen. There's a ton of work that goes into every single athletic event.
And we have our school's athletic director to thank for a lot of it. Thank you.
For scheduling officials so I can always play the game I love.
For ordering quality athletic equipment so I can stay safe on the field.
For mentoring my coaches so they can be the best role models for me.
For coordinating transportation so I can get focused for the big game.
For helping us develop character and learn lessons that will benefit us for the rest of our lives.
Thank you to our AD for always creating a positive experience for us. We'll never forget it.
From all of us at the NIAAA, thank you to every athletic administrator in New York for all you do to enrich the lives of your students. It does not go unnoticed. This message presented by the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today we're talking about the services offered by an overview of the services of American Red Cross and specifically the Hudson Valley, New York chapter. And we have with us John Vail, who's executive director of American Red Cross's Hudson Valley, New York chapter. So, John, before the break, we were talking about the various services that American Red Cross offers during emergencies and natural disasters. But there's one core component of American Red Cross, which people may be more familiar with, and that is providing blood, right? Blood donations to meet blood shortages, which exist seemingly constantly all over the country. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, the American Red Cross is, one of a couple of deep blood providers here in the United States. I think as a percentage, the Red Cross collects approximately 40% of the nation's blood supply. And again, this is possible through generous donors who roll up their sleeves and are literally giving their lifeblood, to help those, that are in need, whether it's an emergency surgery or, a cancer diagnosis, a traumatic incident. You never know when the need for blood is going to happen. So making sure that we have a consistent, safe, reliable blood supply is absolutely critical. And you had mentioned just recently, we are seeing now a blood shortage, which means that blood supply has actually fallen to a critically low level in the recent weeks across the country. And what that means is, in the worst case scenarios, as an organization, sometimes having to limit distributions of some of those transfused blood types to hospitals. And we're seeing a couple of different, maybe causes for why this may be the case now. Most recently, we're looking at, the number of donors that donate blood is actually at the lowest level in 20 years. So blood and platelet donations are needed now to help us alleviate this shortage and ensure life-saving medical procedures are not delayed. And, as we were talking about the weather, when we see these weather events, like we've been seeing a lot of snow, ice, rain affecting the Hudson Valley here, those small disruptions to those blood donations are causing a shortfall in those blood donations. So, that impacts the availability of those blood products and really has some dramatic consequences for those in need of blood.
You gave one reason for the perhaps for the shortage of blood donations, but are there other factors? I mean, is it beyond weather events, maybe where people might be reluctant to donate?
Yeah, like I'd mentioned just before, right now the nation is facing the lowest number of people giving blood in over 20 years. So when we see fewer people donating blood, even a small disruption of blood donation. So you take a winter storm like we just saw, with ice and snow and rain, that has a huge effect on the availability of blood products and poses some dramatic consequences for those in need of an emergency blood transfusion. And then, of course, we're only 4 years removed from the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that really accelerated the way in which people engage in their communities. And, between remote work, it really does make it a challenge to sometimes meet people with a convenient blood drive. And then, of course, our young donors, age 16 to 18, are really, quite critical to our ability to maintain that blood level that's needed. And we saw after the pandemic, again, a lot of schools, universities, we're trying to keep their students rightfully safe. And mm-hmm. we haven't quite seen that return at levels that are needed. So again, we're really calling on everyone at this point, that is healthy and eligible to get out there, roll up your sleeve, all blood types are needed. So if you're able to, and you'd like to help save a life today, now's the time.
Mm-hmm. And John, so does the blood that's donated locally stay pretty much local, or how's that distributed out?
So as, a national organization, the logistics behind blood supply is, really quite amazing. And we actually have that capability to kind of shift blood where it's needed most. So, unfortunately, when we see a traumatic incident or a lot of, people are needing blood, we can actually kind of shift that blood to where it's needed. But in most cases, your blood does stay local. And actually now, most recently, if you donate and you use our blood donor app, we're actually able to track where your blood is utilized. So I donated late last year, and I just got my notification a couple of weeks ago that my blood was actually used down at a children's hospital in Philadelphia. So
wow,
knowing that my blood is being put to a good use, and, during the holiday seasons, it really is the gift of life.
Yeah, for sure. So, John, how does someone go about donating if they're interested or even finding out more information about it?
There are a couple of really simple and easy ways. You can make an appointment to give blood or platelets So you can use our blood donor app, like I had mentioned. So whether you use an Android or Apple device, go to your store, download the app, create an account, and from there it tracks the number of donations you make and really makes it easy to schedule your next appointments. If that's not a viable option, you can also go to redcrossblood.org. Or if you like to, the old-fashioned phone call, you can call us at 1-800-RED-CROSS. So that's 1-800-733-2767.
Now, does that contact information apply also to folks who might be interested in volunteering for Red Cross?
Absolutely. Give us a call. And again, if you've been affected by a disaster, that 1-800-RED-CROSS, you'll notice when you call in, there are a couple of different number prompts. So depending on whether you want to donate blood, volunteer, need support with a disaster, sign up for a CPR, first aid, AED course, that's all available through that 1-800-RED-CROSS phone number.
This is really awesome. And John, it has in the notes here that you also offer preparedness courses to folks, right?
For in communities. Yeah, so that's a little bit of my background. When I got my start with the Red Cross, 6-7 years ago, as first an intern, and then I had the honor of serving with the New York State AmeriCorps, our Disaster Resiliency Corps here with the Red Cross, and we offer several free preparedness programs. My personal favorite, again, they're all very equally important, but because this touches us so near and dear, the number one disaster we actually see across the country is a home fire. A lot of people may not qualify it as such. We think of the larger disasters like the hurricane or the wildfire, but home fires affect more people, cost more damage. So we have a completely free program called the Home Fire Campaign, where our volunteers will go out, install free smoke alarms, provide home fire safety education, make sure a family has a plan to get out safely. And this is something that, if you know of someone or maybe your own home is in need of some updated smoke alarms, these new smoke alarms are tremendous because they actually now have a sealed in lithium ionized battery that's good for 10 years after that activation.
So right.
if you've been a homeowner before, you've seen a smoke alarm. Typically, they have that 9-volt battery that needs to be replaced usually twice a year. These new alarms are great. Once they're up there, we're going to ensure that they're installed properly in the right locations. And quick and early activation is really critical to making sure our families can get out safely.
Right. I think you only have a couple minutes before flashover from my
That's
volunteer
right.
training.
So actually only 2 minutes. Not a lot of time if you think about it, especially if it happens in the middle of the night. So smoke alarms, through studies that we've done, they can reduce the risk of injury or death by over 50%. So
that's
just one smoke alarm in the home. And we, we'll of course make sure that each home is equipped with the right quantity of alarms and of course the right location. So in bedrooms,
every level
is really critical.
All great. What a great service. Who knew? That's really wonderful. And the disaster of a family's home burning, I have nightmares about that occasionally, but what a wonderful service. So John, we're about out of time, and I just want to thank you and your colleagues for all of the amazing work that you do all year long on behalf of all of us. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Vincent.
It's really nice to have you. So you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.